I like to read Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 23 through 27, and propose a brief theme for discussion tonight. Matthew 21, 23 through 27, and it reads, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou think these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I like and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? Or where did it come from? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And this is just I have chills when I read this particular passage of scripture and to see how Jesus dealt with these men. With the wisdom, you can see the transaction that's going on here between Jesus and these men and how he answered them and how, I don't have the word for it, but it's just a special response that men don't typically talk like that. So right away we have a clue that we're dealing with somebody that's much more special, much more than a man. So the question that I want to ask us in response to this reading is, by whose authority? By whose authority? Just that simple question. And I like for us to think about it, read a few more scriptures, and see what the implications are for us, not only from this passage of scripture, but from a perpetual reasking of that question every day in our lives, by whose authority? Well, the word authority is found in the Bible about 34 times. And I noted when I was looking, 32 of them were found in the New Testament. And you know, the New Testament is relatively small compared to the Old Testament. There are only two of these references found in the New Testament to this word authority as it is translated in this version, the King James Version. And I was thinking, I said, wow, that's pretty profound. What does that correspond to, if anything? It may not correspond to, it may be nothing. It may be just purely coincidental. But I think, though, that Jesus makes his appearance in the New Testament, doesn't he? As the Son of Man. And so this word authority is a very important word for us to understand. It has always been an important word to understand. But boy, now in these last times, it's so much more important. Let's define the word authority. On dictionary.com says it's the power to determine, to adjudicate, or to otherwise settle issues or disputes. Jurisdiction, the right to control, command, or determine. And then a little bit further down, it had about 12 different, you know how they, you know, have different denotations all the way down. And then about number 10, it says, it's the right to respect or the acceptance of one's word. In other words, to respect one's word or to accept it. Command, the ability to command, thought. Like, for example, I think a couple of the definitions or the examples they gave was like in the case of a parent has authority over the children. A great writer has a measure of authority for all those who would come after him. Shakespeare, you know, great authoritative, people cite him a lot. When we talk about, you can't get into a literature class without somebody citing Shakespeare. You might not even be in a literature class and they cite him. You could be in any other thing. But This passage, Matthew 21, 23 through 27, is very interesting. Let's make a few observations from some of these scriptures of some things that may be universal for us that we can take out. First of all, what I learned from reading this brief passage of scripture is that not only does man not have the answers, I think he intuitively knows that he doesn't have them. He's not designed to be self-authoritative. And I see that, I think, in verse 23. If we look at 23 again, verse, if you have it, it says, they asked him when and said, by what authority doest these things? And who gave you this authority? And the reason I said what I said earlier is because here you have the chief priests and the elders. These men have high levels of education, like Paul. You know, a lot of the people were very uneducated compared to the priests and the elders and the scribes. But here they are asking this question. Jesus is going about doing what he's doing, and they want to know who gave you this authority. Well, you know, you would think that that's, first of all, a question that they would know because they are the authorities. They were the religious authorities. But I think intuitively that they knew that they didn't know the answer to the answer to all questions. And so they asked him, who gave you the right to do these things? By what authority and who gave it to you? In other words, You're authoritatively doing something. Who told you to do this? They didn't know, allegedly. But the idea that I want to convey is that if man would just, if you just stop and think and apply this to yourself, do you really know what to do? The Bible says in the Old Testament, it is not within man to direct his own steps. We don't even know what to do. I think about when Moses was writing the book of Genesis. You know, how did Moses know to do that? If there were no God to direct him, and if Moses just woke up one day being Moses, and then he starts to look behind him to say, well, what is it that I know? What is it that he would have known but for the delivery of God to that information for him? And if you look at the book of Genesis, it's very comprehensive. You don't sit there and just make up something like that and guess about it. And, you know, there had to be a God who delivered. And, of course, we know that that's the case. Stephen told the Hebrews, the Jews, before they killed him, he says, you who've received the law at the dispensation of angels. So God is the one who has the authority. This is telling us this right away. There's no ability that we have to even be self-authoritative. It has to come from someplace else. Second, interestingly, they wanted to have the truth two different ways. You can't have the truth two different ways. That goes for in matters of religion, doctrine, righteousness, holiness, judgment. You can't have it both ways. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 24, he says, they say, I will ask you one thing. Jesus says, I will ask you one thing, and if you tell me, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And verse 25, he says, again, as we said earlier, where did John's baptism come from? Was it from heaven or was it from men? And they reasoned among themselves. And then they strategized about which answer they would give. See, they wanted to have it both ways. And when you have it both ways, you don't have it any way at all. Because the truth is unitary. It's universal. It is the product of one God's thinking and one God's application of holiness to everything that he does. These guys were acting in a, like scoundrels, really. They had all of this authority, allegedly, but then yet they were trying to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. And the application for us and the world is that, you know, we have to respond to what it is that God has shown us. And when we understand and apprehend what it is that he has shown us, then we have to accept what he has shown us and do it the way he says do it, understand it the way he says understand it, and not try to equivocate about it and to, well, you know, I come from Louisiana, so the truth is kind of like this in Louisiana. I come from California, and the truth is like this in California. Or I come from, you know, England or Ireland or Africa, wherever you come. And we have it. No, we don't have different truths. It is one truth. We can't equivocate about it. We can't play this game. God is not going to play a game with us. Thirdly, I see an aspect of the corrupt nature of man in the way that he devises things. Look again at verse 25 and connect it through 27. From heaven, if he will say to us, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of men, we will fear the people because they all hold John as a prophet. And they said, we can't tell. Now, what kind of a response is that? Do you think they knew? Think they knew the answer to that question? I don't know. I'll suspend judgment for a moment, but I do remember reading earlier about Herod when he had John the Baptist killed. And the Bible said that Herod really feared John. He said that he knew John was holy. He was a holy and a just man. And Herod heard him gladly. Now think about this juxtaposition. We got Herod on the one hand, who's barely religious, a sort of a half-breed of a Jew, who's a king, a vassal king for Rome. And then you got these men who were the chief priests and the elders. And now we got Herod saying he was a just and a holy man. But these guys are saying, well, we don't know. We can't tell. We just don't know. And isn't that political? And sometimes things like that even creep into the church where we won't really make right judgments and take a stand for the truth. We know that that's how it is in the world. But sometimes that kind of political thinking creeps into the church where we get a little corrupt. You know, I remember Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when he said that he said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this perverse, untoward generation, perverse or untoward. There, people back then were perverted just like people today are perverted. And what perversion means, it can mean, it had different connotations to be sure. But in its essence, it means somebody who will change right into wrong. People were doing that 2,000 years ago. Larry just told you this morning how that when he talked about the issue of homosexuality and those types of things, how he said, and such were some of you in Corinthians, in the Corinthian church. But you were washed. You know, you were baptized into the body of Christ, and so you saw fit to repent of those things. But you were like that. Some of you did all of these perverse things. And so there's no excuse why we should be that way. But corruption, personal corruption, you know, we're not even talking about a whole criminal purpose organization. These men were individually and singularly corrupt. And that's the challenge for us. We can become corrupt too. We can allow ourselves to be corrupted. And we should take all measure to avoid that. And the last point under this one is that God will not equivocate about matters of truth, of which the subject of authority is one of them. He won't equivocate. And I find that in the words of Jesus when he says, and when they told him, they said, we can't tell you. We don't know. wink, wink, can you see my eye? We don't know. And he said to them, I don't know. See, he's not going to equivocate. They should have just said, it's from John. John's doctrine, his baptism was from God. They should have just said that. And just think if they had said that, how much easier it would have been for them to deal with Jesus. How much closer they would have been to salvation. But no, they wanted to equivocate on matters of godliness. And Jesus says, we're not having that. He applied the same standard. We would call it reciprocity. He flipped it up over them because they were just being corrupt. And they were not. You can't get to a godly judgment through corrupt thinking. And so, as I said earlier, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. These men wanted to be lost, apparently, because they knew, even just the example of Herod, they knew that John was a prophet and that he was speaking the will of God. What else does the Bible have to say then about the subject of authority? Well, Jesus taught the people of his day, the Bible says, as one who had authority, not like the scribes, Matthew 7:29. He also said, Jesus, of authority, he says, I don't even speak of my own authority, but the Father that dwelleth in me, John 14:10. And as I said earlier, if Jesus would relegate his own power and his ability to be authoritative and say that he's not even speaking of himself, he's speaking as the Father in him, then that proves the proposition. If he's the Son of God and he doesn't make that claim, we can't make it. We have no ability to be self-authoritative. We have no rule that governs us that is consistent and that is true, that governs all men. We have no such rule. And we can talk about the law in a different context, but we don't have a rule like that. If you just stop and think about it, anything that you think, do you have any original ideas about anything that somebody else hasn't thought about? I'm talking about in matters of substance. I'm not talking about I learned how to fold a paper to fly a jet the way and I haven't seen anybody do this before. You know, I know that there are things that that we still learn about ancient civilizations like Egypt, and you get shot. They did what? And we thought we were the only ones that could do it. You've seen the shows. You know what I'm talking about. Thirdly, Jesus, the Bible tells us, Paul tells us in this case, that there is no authority or power. Now, we start to see when we change these translations, we get this word authority being substituted for power and power for authority, because that's really what it is. Authority is power and power is authority. And Paul said there's no authority but of God. So all authority, true authority, any authority, because there really is no such thing as bad authority. There are bad examples, there are bad practices, but there is no such thing as bad authority. Because if it's true that if what Paul says here is true, and he said on many occasions, I speak the truth, I lie not, the Spirit of God is taught me these things, then there can't be any bad authority. Bad practices, bad examples, I suppose bad people, but no bad authority. If it's the case that all authority comes from God, I think it does. Paul also said that as far as Christ is concerned, he's far above all rule, there's that word rule, and power or authority. And he talks about that in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 21. And I love this next one. He says, Jesus said, when he had healed this man who had palsy, and they were questioning him about, well, how do you get to do that? I mean, what is it? Just like earlier. And Jesus knew that they were having doubts about it. And he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has a power or authority upon earth to forgive sins. Then he saith to the sick man with the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go into your house. Matthew 9:6. The ability to forgive sins is an act of authority. The person or the one who can forgive sins is God. Jesus was able to forgive sins, therefore he is God. I love the fact that, you know, he first said to the man, you know, your sins are forgiven. And that's just Christ. We saw the word earlier showing his dominion over all things. You know, well, you don't like that I can forgive sins? Then I'll just send him home whole. Which is it that you know, what are you going to equivocate about? Why are you going to keep doubting me when you see the power of God at work? And that's what he was trying to say to them. And I also like in Luke, the 4th chapter, in verse 36, where the people around him were so mesmerized, although they didn't want to believe in him, but they were dumbfounded. They were incredulous at the things, the power that he had, which is authority. And on one case, when he had done this one miracle, they said, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes we just have to acknowledge the truth about things. And thankfully, in the church, for the most part, we do. Of course, the world doesn't do that. Sometimes we can imitate the world, but we have to acknowledge the truth. And Jesus, everything he said, everything he did, conformed to the truth. So what are a couple of lessons as we come close to a conclusion? First, it is clear that authority exists in the world, in this world and in heaven. And there is no distinction between the author of the power. There's no distinction. Men must submit to that authority. We must submit. We can't be like these elders and these leaders when they wanted to equivocate about the authority of Christ. So much so that in their case, they outsmarted themselves and missed out on a chance at hearing more of God's word, getting themselves closer to salvation and closer to where God really is. They had God right in front of them and didn't want to acknowledge it. And really, what it really comes down to is the fact that the authority is in the word of Jesus Christ. He said, and we always quote this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I have it all. I possess all of it. And so, again, no real bad authority, bad people, bad examples, but no bad authority because Christ has it all. Now, are there people who have been, delegated authority, who use it in a way that Christ wouldn't use it? Yeah, sometimes our civil authorities do that. They do. But you know what? Sometimes fathers and families do it too, don't they? When they won't rear their kids in a proper way, when they're mean to their kids, when they abuse their children, when they neglect their children, that's not a good use of authority. Doesn't mean that authority is bad. It just means that this person has chosen to use the grant of authority in the wrong way, and God is not going to tolerate that either. As to the word of Jesus being the authority, he made it so clear in John, the 6th chapter, verse 63, where he says, he that rejecteth me and receive not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The same word. Here it is. We have every single one of them recorded right here. every single one. Now, do we have every single word he spoke? I don't know. Do we have every single thing that he did? I'm sure we don't, because it said in one place, and many other things that Jesus did in terms of his miracles and acts and things. But if all of them had been recorded, the world wouldn't be able to contain all the books. Now, if what that means, you can judge for yourself, but I don't know that we have everything that he did, but we have enough. And we, and the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to be responsive to, they're all recorded in here. Here they are. And some of these Bible publishers, they'll be good and they'll put them in red, so you can't miss it. Those are the words. When we wake up in judgment, and whatever that looks like, whatever that feels like, whatever experience that is, we're going to remember these words. Just these words, not other words, these words. And those are the ones, Jesus says, that are going to judge you. I know there was a fad a while back when they had the little bracelets, and they would say, you know, what would Jesus do? And, you know, okay. But I always, you know, I like to keep thinking. And I thought about that, and I said, well, you know, I'm not really sure it's what would Jesus do. I think a better question is, what did Jesus say? See, because he said these words, and this is what we have to deal with. Not what he did. He was only here for 33 roughly years. He did a lot of things. He performed a lot of miracles. But we're not going to be able to perform any miracles. So we're not going to be able to replicate what Jesus did in that sense. But the issue really is, what did he say? And that's where the learning comes in. That's where the spiritual challenge is what did he say? We have this entire collection of what he said. So let's make sure that we be about the business of doing what he said. And then that would be what would Jesus do, I suppose. So what about you? By whose authority have you been living your life up to this point? If you're not a Christian, if you've not been obedient to the gospel of Christ, I would have to say that you've been living your life by the authority or the misapplication of authority of someone else. You may have even tried unsuccessfully to use your own authority, which, as I've said earlier, is virtually impossible. On some point, you'll find yourself being more of a follower than being creative and being actually, you know, establishing some authority on your own. It all comes from God. The question is, how do we use it? How do we respond to this authority that God has shown forth to us? Have you been evading the authority of God in your life? If you have, today is the day to stop. We have the words. We know they're going to judge us in the last day. And so sometimes I take that verse and I rehearse it over and over and ago, and I force myself to quake in fear, because one set of words, I didn't do it, but I meant to, like, Google it. You could probably Google it and find out exactly how many words that are attributable to Christ in the New Testament, or perhaps throughout the Bible, to the extent that he pre-existed the New Testament. There's only so many. We don't have to solve for X. I don't know how many there are, but each one of them, all of the articles, the A's, the these, the ands, the buts, the wherefore, but I say unto you, all of those count, and that's what's going to judge us. And so let's not make false standards for ourselves. If you hear, and if you have been obedient to the gospel of Christ, but you have allowed his authority to go away from you, from your decisions and your activities, please resubmit yourself to the authority. Put yourself back in the jurisdiction of Christ. Put yourself back under his umbrella of authority. The Bible says that Jesus is above all things, before all things, and by him all things consist. So really, when it gets down to it, Jesus and his words are really, that's all that really matters. It is really the underpinning and the foundation of all reality and all judgment and all decision making and all happiness and all ability to be in peace, at peace with God. That's what it is. And so what we have to do is to eliminate those distractions, those other things that are challenge the authority of God, and make sure that we, all of us, remain under there. So if there's anything that we've said that might help you and challenge you to greater service, or if you have any needs that can be met by the church here, I ask you to come and make your request known as we stand and sing.